Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. Barira, may Allah be pleased with her, went to Aisha. And we learn from this that it is permissible for a slave to buy himself out. Is it mandatory upon his masters? No, it is recommended, as mentioned in the Quran, but it is not mandatory. If they want to sell, yes. If they don't want to free, they may keep him. And she went to Aisha because she needed her to help her in paying off her installments. Aisha told her, I have a better idea. Why not I buy you and I free you? So that was a good idea for Barira, because both ways she will cut a long period short. She went to her masters, who refused and said that no, unless the wala is to us, then we're not willing to accept. When the Prophet heard about this, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was angered, because he had previously stated to the Muslims that whoever frees a slave, then the wala, the allegiance, is to the liberator. How dare they ask for that? How dare they make a condition that, no, we will not accept until you do this and that? Let them make this condition and buy her off, because the allegiance at the end of the day would be yours. Everyone knew this rule. And that is why the Prophet ﷺ told them, it doesn't matter whether they make this condition or not, the condition is invalid. Then why did they make such a condition? And why did Aisha herself stipulated and said that, listen, I'll buy her off on the account that I have the wala? Didn't she know the ruling? Scholars said both of them knew the ruling, but they had the confusion. And the confusion resulted in that Barira had already started paying her installments. So she was part free, part slave. So that made the confusion that, in this case, when we liberate her or when we accept the remaining, we would be liberating her. While Aisha said, while I'm giving them the money, I'm actually buying it. I'm not helping her liberate herself. So this was the confusion between the two. And that is why they made the condition, and Aisha was confused as well. May Allah be pleased with her. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ intervened and told her, let them make the condition and you agree upon it. After the transaction was made, what was the end conclusion? It was Aisha who bought Barira. And then after buying her, she's still a slave. She freed her. Then this means that the condition that her previous owners had made is invalid, because they sold her. They did not free Barira. And also we learn from this hadith that, subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ gave a speech. He gave a speech, but he did not name the people. He praised Allah Azza wa Jalla and said, why do people make conditions? He did not say, why did Abdullah, why did Muhammad, why did Ahmed? Naming names. I'm not saying that if one says something bad or wrong, you do not explain. No, explain, akhi, without slandering people, without criticizing them and ridiculing them and say that they're nothing, they're just like ants. And this is not the way of the Prophet, alayhi salam. The Prophet came, why do so-and-so make conditions that are not found in the law of Allah, in the Quran, nor in the Sunnah? Anything that goes against the law of Allah and the Sunnah, even if it's 100 condition, it is invalid, it's void. So the Prophet ﷺ is showing us how to deal with those who make mistakes. Not only that, we know that there are conditions that are permissible and there are conditions that are not permissible. Among the examples of conditions that are permissible, if someone wants a loan from me, Sheikh, I need 100,000. It is permissible for me to make a condition saying, here is 100,000, providing that you give me the keys and the right to sell your house if you do not pay on time. This is known as rahn or mortgage. So is this permissible? Yes, this is a logical condition to safeguard my money. Likewise, if someone, for example, buys something from me, he buys my car, I say, okay, I accept on a condition. What? That I give you my car in 3 days' time. I don't have a car, I have to buy another car. So in these 3 days, I can manage to buy a car. He agrees. Is this condition correct? Is the condition halal? There is nothing haram in it. Among the bad and invalid conditions is that when I sell you my car, I sell you my car on the condition that you do not sell it and you do not give it to anyone as a gift. This is not your right. I say, okay. I take the car and I sell it the following day. This condition is invalid. I want to marry a woman. She says, I accept on the condition that you divorce your wife. This is haram condition because it harms someone else, and there is a hadith that forbids this. However, if I want to marry a woman and she says yes, but I make a condition that you do not get me out of my village or town. You do not marry me, and then after 1 year you say we have to move to some other country. And you accept, this is valid. She says, I accept marrying you, but you do not take another wife while I'm with you. Ah, this is not acceptable. No, it is acceptable. Why? Because this is not mandatory. She is telling you that this is a condition for her to accept. Either you say, well, I don't accept because I'm thinking of getting married to a second wife after 75 years. Or you say, I accept. I can barely manage one wife. But if you agree to it, then you have to stick with it. And if so happens after 6 years or 7 years, you feel young again, you said, okay, I'm going to take another wife, and you get married to a second wife, she has the right for separation. Whether you like it or not, she goes to the judge, this is the condition, and he did not fulfill it, I am out. So you have to understand what conditions are acceptable and what conditions are not. We open the floor for questions, if you have any. Yes, Akhinak.
Sheikh, in the books of Asma al-Rijal, they are given the names of specific persons. Like this person, so-and-so person is having not a good memory, and he is among the people of innovators. I mean, they are mentioning the names. So based on that, it is a science of hadith, wherein the scholars of hadith have mentioned the names of the people, that this one is deviant and that one is memory.
Okay. This is different, Akhi, because backbiting or al-ghiba is prohibited. Scholars say that there are six reasons for backbiting to be acceptable, mentioned by Imam Nawawi, may Allah have mercy on his soul, in Al-Riyad al-Salihin, and other scholars. Among them is to warn people from people of innovation. Now, warning people from those who are innovators to those who do not know them, yes, this is valid. However, with da'is, with scholars of Islam, there has to be an etiquette. When you come and say that, for example, Sheikh bin Baz, a great scholar of Islam, did he have wrong fatwas? No one dares to say, no, he's Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, he's an imam. Sheikh ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh al-Albani, they all had shortcomings because they are human. It is a human nature that you make mistakes. The only one who cannot make such a mistake is the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, made mistakes. Not out of whim and desire, not because they're deviant, astaghfirullah wa tubu ilayh, because they're humans. They make judgment, they may fail, and they may succeed. Now, if a person comes and sits and says, Sheikh bin Baz did this wrong, and he said this wrong, and this and this, and makes a book out of it, and publishes it, what would people say? That he's disrespectful, that he's not polite. He says, no, I was just showing the people the things that were wrong. This is not the way of doing it. There is a difference between an advice when I come to you and I say, Akhi, you did this and that in private, and this is wrong. And there is a difference between when I make it public. Now one says, yes, but their mistake was done in public, so I have to rectify it and clarify it in public. And this is not always the truth. First of all, go to the gentleman, go to the brother, and tell him he may rectify it himself, correct himself. Maybe it is an issue of dispute that can be applicable, can be used, not necessarily that I am right 100% all the time. Therefore, one has to balance. I'm not at all saying that if a da'i or a scholar makes a mistake, hush, hush, and not talk about it and turn your face to the other direction. What I'm saying is to be polite. What I'm saying is to know how to address people and how to talk to them, because people have respect. When you keep on knocking all the da'is and the scholars down, at the end of the day, you and I, we would think that there are no scholars, there are no da'is. Stepping on people is forbidden. Ridiculing people and not respecting them is forbidden. Yes, if someone makes a mistake, ya akhi, highlight the good part, saying that this brother has a lot of good work and he does a lot of good things for da'wah, but he made a mistake in this, and inshallah, he would rectify it. The truth is so and so and so. To go and jump to the gun and say, this guy is being like the Jahmi, he's being like Mu'tazili, and he is saying that this and this, and as if you are getting him out of the loop of Islam, this is something that is not polite, it's not respectful, and it's not part of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.